His name was Amshat Balzun. He lived on the raft with his three wives and three children. He was a liar. What always annoyed the enemies of the Zun tribe was not simply their honesty, which was infuriatingly absolute, but their total directness of approach. The Zuns had never heard about a euphemism, and wouldn't understand what to do with it if they had one, except that they would certainly have called it a nice way of saying something nasty. Their rigid adherence to the truth was apparently not enjoined on them by a god, as is usually the case, but appeared to have a genetic base. The average Zun could no more tell a lie than breathe underwater, and, in fact, the very concept was enough to upset them considerably. Telling a lie meant no less than totally altering the universe. This was something of a drawback to a trading race, and so, over the millennia, the elders of the Zun studied this strange power that everyone else had in such abundance and decided that they should possess it too. Young men who showed faint signs of having such a talent were encouraged, on special ceremonial occasions, to bend the truth ever further on a competitive basis. The first recorded Zun proto-lie was, "Actually, my grandfather is quite tall." But eventually they got the hang of it, and the office of tribal liar was instituted. It must be understood that while the majority of Zun cannot lie, they have great respect for any Zun who can say that the world is other than it is, and the liar holds a position of considerable eminence. He represents his tribe in all his dealings with the outside world, which the average Zun long ago gave up trying to understand. Zun tribes are very proud of their liars. Other races get very annoyed about all this. They feel that the Zun ought to have adopted more suitable titles, like diplomat or public relations officer. They feel they are poking fun at the whole thing.
"Is all that true?"
said Esk suspiciously, looking around the barge's crowded cabin. "No," said Amshat firmly. His junior wife, who was cooking porridge over a tiny ornate stove, giggled. His three children watched Esk solemnly over the edge of the table.
"Don't you ever tell the truth?"
"Do you?"
Amshat grinned his gold mine grin, but his eyes were not smiling.
"Why do I find you on my fleeces? Amshat is no kidnapper. There will be people at home who will worry, yes, no?"
"I expect Granny will come looking for me," said Esk. "But I don't think she will worry much. Just be angry, I expect. Anyway, I am going to Ankh Morpork. You can put me off the ship, boat, if you like. I don't mind about the pike."
"I can't do that," said Amshat.
"Was that a lie?"
"No. There is wild country around us, robbers and things."
Esk nodded brightly.
"That's settled then," she said. "I don't mind sleeping in the fleeces. And I can pay my way. I can do..."
She hesitated. Her unfinished sentence hung like a little curl of crystal in the air while discretion made a successful bid for control of her tongue.
"Helpful things,"
she finished lamely. She was aware that Amshat was looking slightly sideways at his senior wife, who was sewing by the stove. By Zun tradition, she wore nothing but black. Granny would have thoroughly approved.
"What sort of helpful things?" he asked. "Washing and sweeping, yes, no?"
"If you like," said Esk. "Or distillation, using the bifold or triple alembic. The making of varnishes, glazes, creams, zumchats and punes. The renderings of waxes, the manufacture of candles, the proper selection of seeds, roots and cuttings, and most preparations from the 80 marvellous herbs. I can spin, card, ret, flallow and weave on the hand, frame, harp and noble looms, and I can knit if people start the wool on for me. I can read soil and rock, do carpentry up to the three-way mortise and tenon, predict weather by means of beast sign and skyrec, make increase in bees, brew five types of mead, make dyes and mordants and pigments, including a fast blue. I can do most types of whitesmithing, mend boots, cure and fashion most leathers, and if you have any goats, I can look after them. I like goats."
Amshat looked at her thoughtfully. She felt she was expected to continue.
"Granny never likes to see people sitting around doing nothing," she offered. She always says a girl who is good with her hands will never want for a living, she added by way of further explanation.
Or a husband, I expect, nodded Amshat weakly.
Actually, Granny had a lot to say about that.
I bet she did, said Amshat.
He looked at the senior wife, who nodded almost imperceptibly.
Very well, he said. If you can make yourself useful, you can stay. And can you play a musical instrument?
Esk returned his steady gaze, not batting an eyelid.
Probably.